If I can't travel through time, how am I here? I should still be one. What happens if you only eat crisps? All these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Welcome back, everyone. It is Tuesday, the most paranormal and spooky day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
I am your host for this week's episode of This Paranormal Life, the only podcast hosted by me and Kit, where every week we rugby tackle, pin down, and noogie a brand new paranormal ghost story, beast tale, or claim, and come to the conclusion whether it's a weak little nerd that is false or a big, beefy, homecoming king truth.
And every week we get put in detention. Every week we get put in the sin bin, aka jail, for trying to get to the bottom of it.
But we are the kings of the jungle gym, and every week we're going to come back angrier and angrier.
That's right.
This week I have a really great story. It's an exciting one. You know, we talked a little bit about cursed items before.
Yes, very recently.
Very recently. Don't call me out on it. But did you know, Kit? If you visit a tiny museum in North Yorkshire, you can see something very strange.
Go on.
An old oak chair hung from the ceiling of a museum.
Is this it? Well, is this the story?
This is the story.
Okay.
So hold your laughter, because this is about to get dark. It's hung from the ceiling of the museum by the wishes of its previous owner, so that no one would ever be able to sit in it again.
Holy shit.
And that wish hasn't been broken in over 30 years.
Oh my god.
So why is it there? Why the fear? Why? Why?
Yeah,
why?
Well, what would happen?
I'm like, why the fear? Why is it there? You're like, yeah, why is it? Shut up, Kit. Give me one goddamn minute. Questions at the end of the podcast. How did it end up in North Yorkshire?
You're asking questions.
Well, to understand these many, many questions, we have to go all the way back to the latter part of the 1600s.
Oh.
To a small town in Sandhutton, I think I butchered that, where a man by the name of Thomas Bubsey owned a local inn.
In the late 1600s, you say?
Yeah, we're going way back.
Long ass time ago.
Now, Bubsey married a woman named Elizabeth, the daughter of a local crook.
Oh, shit.
Think like Mafia Don style.
Wow.
Someone who you don't really want to, like, get on the bad side. You don't want to mess with this guy.
But Yorkshire.
But Bubsey was no saint either. Sure, he owned the inn, but he was a thief, a drunk, a thug, and a crook.
What? It's a town of crooks? I feel bad for Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth? She was the dirtiest crook of them all.
Behind every crook is an even dirtier crook woman. Behind every successful crook.
Bubsey had a crazy temper. So bad that if you visited his inn and sat in his favorite chair, he would lose it.
Don't run a business where you entirely care for visitors. Don't work in hospitality.
Maybe he was forced. Maybe precious. It was like a family tradition.
Did he keep the chair in his room at least where people couldn't get to it?
He kept it at the bar.
Okay.
It was like the most comfy chair there. It had a vacant sign on it.
I guess every crook needs a cover. It's like Walter White.
Yeah, he was a school teacher.
He was a school teacher to cover up the crack. You know, and like the other guy also in Breaking Bad, a lot of my analogies are to do with Breaking Bad.
Of course.
But like the head crack dealer who I think ran a chain of chicken restaurants.
Yeah, now I think about it, there was a lot of just crack dealers who don't deal crack in their daytime.
And they mostly just wore glasses. That was the big cover up.
Like Clark Kent just popped them on and they're like, where did the drug dealer go?
Where'd the crack go?
Excuse me, fine sir, did you see a drug dealer your height? The guy's like,
he's smoking crack.
I didn't see him, you f***ing pig. All right, have a nice day, son. Yeah, I guess it's a great cover-up. It's like, oh, have you guys seen Bubsy the Crook? No, I only know Bubsy the kind old innkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't sit in his chair or he goes bananas.
All the rugs in the inn have like dead bodies wrapped in them, mafia style.
Well, both Bubsy and his father-in-law being alcoholic asshole crooks, it wasn't long before they both began working together. but despite their similarities, they did not get on well.
Oh.
Arguments were frequent, fights were occasional, and Bubsy always seemed to be in a foul mood.
Change your lifestyle. Join AA.
You obviously, you don't like being a crook.
Start exercising.
You don't like being an innkeeper. Bubsy, you have to upend your life.
At some point, you've got to realize you're the problem. Once you've stolen enough items and wenches.
Well, one day, an angry and pissed up Bubsy returned to his inn to find his father-in-law waiting for him. He threatened to take his wife, Elizabeth, away from him. And then to mock Bubsy, he sat in his favorite chair.
The disgrace. You could just imagine Bubsy's big red drunk face. Just the steam coming out his ears.
Ouch,
he's
man.
Rolling up his sleeves, Popeye style.
Yeah, like why I on a one. Yeah. Little like Popeye pipe, but it's got crack in it.
And Elizabeth is like Olive from also from Popeye.
Of course.
And she's like trying to hold him back.
Bubsy immediately threw him out of the inn. But that wasn't enough to satisfy his raw, pissed up anger.
Yeah.
Later that night, he stormed over to his father-in-law's farm and bashed him with a hammer.
Whoa.
Killing him to death.
Not cool.
When the body was discovered, Bubsy was immediately arrested for the murder.
Of course. You can commit a lot of crimes, but that one really took the biscuit.
And they knew, obviously, right then and there, who had done it.
Yeah, motive, everything all wrapped up.
Although I do like the idea of the police, like, dragging him away, and he's like, "You got no evidence, you've no proof that I did it." It's like, we heard you threaten to kill a man for sitting in a chair.
He takes a swing at the police officer with another hammer. Whoa, how'd you get that?
Oh, I wasn't actually threatening people, it's just one of those phrases, you know, like, kick your ass, wring your neck, smash your f***ing head in with a hammer, and hide the evidence when the cops show up.
We're actually gonna skip court, bring you straight to jail.
In the summer of 1702, Bubsy was tried and sentenced to death for murder. His punishment was to be hung from a gibbet.
What's a gibbet?
It's kind of what they did to pirates. You know when you're in that kind of like metal human-shaped cage? And you're just kind of hung there and you can't move until you like die and
what
rot.
What the f***?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
Oh, really? Yeah,
no.
It's literally like a little human-shaped cage that they put you in so you can't move. And obviously you just die of starvation or
holy
thirst.
Shit.
And then you're left there to rot.
I thought you said it was hanging.
Well, hanging by the gibbet. Hung from a gibbet.
What the hell?
I think they used to do it. Well, they did it to pirates because they would do it on the coast. So if pirates came to dock, they'd be like, "Oh shit, look at the gibbets."
Yeah,
and there's, you know, pirates.
Pirates not welcome.
And then like a smaller gibbet for like their parrots. Mm-hmm, pirates mm-hmm.
And then
there.
An even smaller gibbet for their tiny monkey accomplice with an eye patch.
But as they dragged him to his execution, he cried out, "You think you can stop me? You think this is the end of Bubsy? I'll always be watching. And if anyone sits in my f***ing chair, you are dead."
You've got quite a lot of time to, you know, it's not like regular hanging that we think of, where you've got like one chance at the, it's like in the movies, you've got the one chance at the last words, you've got to think of something cool. But it sounds like hanging by this gibbet thing, you've got days potentially.
Yeah, I don't know if he realized that going in, because he kind of had his big monologue and then they obviously put him in the gibbet. He's kind of probably there for another, like at least week or 2 weeks.
Also, on second thoughts, didn't do any of it.
Incidentally, he was also hung by the gibbet right across the road from his inn.
That's cruel.
It's really cruel. So presumably people were just going into the inn and like rubbing their ass on his seat.
Hey, get your ass out of there!
After he died, the inn was later named the Bubsy Stoop Inn.
Wow.
I guess in his...
Named
in
after his, the stoop itself.
In his sad little honor.
Yeah.
In which it retained this name until it closed in 2012. So it was open till really recently.
Jesus.
But what happened with this chair? How did it get from being this weird little chair to be hung up in a museum where no one can sit in it? Well, after Bubsy died in 1894, over 100 years later.
Well over 100 years later.
A local chimney sweep was working at Bubsy Stoop Inn. On his work break, he grabbed a pint from the bar and decided to rest his legs. He stopped at a vacant chair in the corner. A dark wooden chair, layered in dust.
Don't do it. Don't do it, kid. Just sit in the ground.
Unaware of the rumors that surrounded it, just stand. The man sat down on Bubsy's cursed chair. And he was fine.
Okay, just a regular chair.
The pint wasn't poisoned. No ghost grabbed his soul.
Yeah.
No phantom hammer caved his head in. He finished his pint and went back to work. But while sweeping a chimney, no more than 5 minutes later, the man lost his footing, tumbled down the roof, and fell onto the hard stone to his death.
No.
Yeah.
I can't remember how chimney sweeping works. Most of my knowledge of chimney sweeping comes from Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
I thought they did it from the inside of the house.
I guess maybe if there's a blockage at the top, you got to go up there.
And you know there's a blockage. After he sat in that chair, there was a demon-sized blockage in that chimney.
Yeah, they were like, chimney was working fine until your fat ass sat in the cursed chair. Now you got to go up there and fix it. Also, if you're a chimney sweeper working on rooftops, I don't think you should be having a pint for lunch. I'm not saying that was related to...
I'm not saying it was related, but the pint was 21% alcohol.
During the Second World War, the pub became a popular drinking spot with RCAF airmen, and the chair's nasty reputation continued. Those pilots who were brave or dumb enough to sit in Bubsy's chair never returned from the war.
Oh, shit. Because you would expect that these army cadets would be so highly trained, so physically fit, that they could withstand anything that some sort of demon curse could throw at them.
They should be able to spot a curse from 200 yards.
Indeed, if they fell off the roof, they are trained to jump out of a flaming aircraft by a parachute, so they should be safe.
Yeah.
But they didn't even survive the war.
Again, granted, a lot of people didn't survive a lot of wars.
Sure.
So yes, we could, you know, if we wanted to say this was just a coincidence.
It's like they say, not all people who died in the war sat in Bubsy's chair,
right?
But all people who sat in Bubsy's chair
died in the war. The old saying. Well, yes, this could be a coincidence. If it had stopped there, death continued over the years. People who sat in the chair crashed their cars on the way home, died from unexpected heart attacks, and one cleaning lady didn't even sit in the chair. She just knocked into it by accident.
Oh, that's not fair.
She knocked into it by accident and was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's a slow summer, isn't it? No one sat in the chair and he was grasping at straws at that one.
Yeah, she gave it a loving dust. The cleaning lady gave it a dust to stop Bubsy's chair getting too dusty.
And Bubsy's like, ghost is like, you saw it.
You did what?
She sat on it. You all saw it. She sat on me. I'm well within my rights to curse her.
You know that like he called himself like a world-class criminal. And he was like, yeah, the inn thing's just a cover, you know. But you know, the inn was his full-time gig.
100%.
The criminality was very much like stealing penny chews.
He wasn't making any money off of it, yeah.
Maybe knick-knocking old people's houses, that kind of level of crime.
Which is weird, because he was really good at being an innkeeper. He should have gone all in on being an innkeeper.
Yes.
Like, that was a good part of his life.
Yeah.
Some people attribute up to 60 deaths to the chair. So it wasn't long before the now owner, Tony Earnshaw, decided to lock the chair in the cellar. Down there, no one would ever suffer its wrath again.
I mean, until they unlock the cellar and then just go down there.
I think...
throw it out. Smash it.
We don't want to smash it because,
you know,
that might free some sort of curse upon the whole town.
Yeah.
At least now he's confined to the chair. One day, a delivery man from the brewery was in the cellar, restocking the bar.
What? I thought the cellar was locked, was secure.
Well, it
was kept away from all humans.
It's locked to the public, but it's still a cellar.
Oh my God.
You gotta use the cellar.
This is ridiculous. That's like saying you've got a baby and being like, I'm going to keep my katana collection in the cupboard. Yep, that'll do it. Cupboard's fine. Baby will never find it there.
It's not a great idea. It's kind of like, all right, to keep it safe, we're going to lock the chair away in the old convention center that's only used once a year for the sitting convention.
Santa's grotto.
Oh, what a horrible way to get cursed, sitting on Santa's lap. Little kids going, walking up. You're like, oh, go talk to Santa. Yeah, tell me what you want for Christmas. And you're like, oh, hi, Santa. You look up and it's just Bubsy sitting on the chair. All right, you little shit.
His face is melting like an Indiana Jones.
One day, delivery man from the brewery was in the cellar restocking the bar. Earnshaw went down to check on the delivery man just as he was about finished unpacking. The delivery man said, "There you go, Earnshaw. Your stock's replenished. That'll keep those drunkards at bay for at least another week." You know.
You're funny, Jimmy.
Before he left, the delivery man turned and said, "By the way, you shouldn't keep that chair down here. It's far too comfy to be locked in the cellar."
How comfy is this thing? How comfy does a chair have to look before someone comments on it that it's going to waste?
I have seen pictures of this chair. It is not a comfortable looking chair.
You have to be a drunk to think that. If I was in a cellar and I saw a Lazy Boy premium luxury armchair with drinks holders and mini fridge installed, I would not say you are wasting that, Lazy Boy. Please take it upstairs.
Yeah, because I mean, seeing this thing, like, this is an old ass wooden chair. So unless the whole idea is that it's got that like kind of like Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade style, you know, like the Holy Grail, Jesus's yeah. Holy Grail is the dusty ass wooden one.
Like the rustic, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you know, Jesus was humble and he was a carpenter, so that's like his sacred one. That's like Bubsy's chair. Like, oh, which chair is Bubsy's? Is it the Lazy Boy?
Right.
Is it this throne?
It's
like,
no. Is it a beanbag?
Is it this beanbag? No, it's this tiny little horrible crooked old wooden chair.
Yeah.
Could make sense.
It could make sense.
Although, again, it's just reiterating the fact that he was a shite crook.
Yes.
Like, he didn't have the throne. He didn't have a Lazy Boy. He had
his throne was a bar stool.
Well, that's right. On his break, the delivery man sat in the chair.
Short. Oh, I'm just... Wait, what was his voice?
Which is a terrible Irish
I'm just
accent.
So parched from delivering all these kegs of delicious beer. I'm so tired. I need a good sit down. If only there was somewhere comfy for me to lay my buns.
Oi! Oi, over here!
Who said that?
It's me, Bubsy.
Who's that?
What? It's Bubsy.
Who's Bubsy?
What do you mean, who's Bubsy? It's me, Bubsy. I'm the f***ing chair. I'm the chairman.
You're the chairman of the inn. The chairman. You run the place.
No, I'm the... How long have I been down here? Just come over here and have a sit. Wait, or don't have a sit. I don't remember what I want anymore.
I don't quite understand you, Mr. Chairman, but this chair over here looks mighty comfy, so I'm going to go for a sit anyway.
Shortly after, the delivery man sat on Bubsy's chair. His truck veered off the road, colliding with a tree.
What? When, while he was in the chair?
Later.
Oh.
And leaving him dead. He died after he sat in the chair.
Did he also have a couple of pints?
Probably.
Probably.
Probably chugging them while he's going. He's got kegs in the back.
But does that mean it's not cursed? Who knows?
Who knows? A lot of the people, yes, they come into ill fortune, are pissed at the time. Because a lot of the people went to the bar, sat in the chair, had a couple pints, and crashed their cars.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the consistency here?
It's difficult. The chair. Because, you know, we do have this consistency of the chair, but at the same time, I would have a little more confidence if this chair existed in maybe a yoga studio or maybe a gymnasium where sort of healthy people who are invested in life go to hang out.
Granted.
Rather than drunks who maybe drove to the bar, started drinking, and then drove home.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Like, the clientele that are suffering the wrath of this chair, I mean, it's inevitable. Like, that wrath was coming. That wrath was coming around the corner. They just so happened to sit in a chair before it hit them.
If sitting in Bubsy's chair is what pushed you over the edge, you were on the edge anyway.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Just like, yeah, you know, Chris actually died from Bubsy's chair. Smoked 2 packs a day, 20 years straight. One day in Bubsy's chair, next thing you know, heart attack. It's like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy how that happens, man. That f***ing chair. We got to do something about it. He lights up another cigarette. Well, this was the final death and the final straw. Earnshaw decided that the chair was too dangerous.
Right, we gotta destroy it. We gotta get it out the door. We gotta at least maybe ship it to the moon.
Not a bad idea. But then, you know, you got little aliens sitting on this chair. They're crashing their moon cars on the way home.
I guess.
Earnshaw decided the chair was too dangerous, and in 1978, he donated it to the Thirsk Museum in North Yorkshire, where it remains to this day, hung from the ceiling, so no one can ever sit on it again.
Right, because, yeah, if it's hanging from the ceiling, yeah, pretty hard to sit in it.
And as we said, the people who now look after the chair are under strict instructions to never let anyone
under
sit in this
no
chair.
No circumstances.
And people have gone, you know, not even just regular Joes like you and me. We're talking like, you know, producers for TV shows trying to get a chance to sit in this chair, but no one is allowed to do it, you know? I have a picture of Bubsy's chair right here if you want to see it.
Finally, let me see just how comfy this thing must be. For so many people to sit in it, despite being hundreds of years old, apparently. I mean, this is, what, a 400-year-old chair?
Oh, it is ancient,
or
yeah.
300 at least.
All right, you want to see this bad boy?
Yeah.
Feast your eyes on the most comfortable chair in the world.
That is by far the least comfortable looking chair. It is...
What are you talking about?
It is a 90-degree right angle. There is nothing but back support. This, ladies and gentlemen, looks like an executioner's chair. The kind of chair that you get electrocuted on in the Green Mile.
It's somehow so much more uncomfortable looking than any chair I've ever seen.
This is more uncomfortable than the Iron Throne itself.
It doesn't look deep enough that your full ass can sit on it, but it's also not high enough so your knees are flush. I think they'd be up, kind of.
Yet the back is about 8 foot tall, so your head can only rest against wood.
It's so impractical. I don't know why anyone... I mean, Bubsy, you had any chair. You could have chosen any chair.
As a thief, you could have any chair you wish.
Also, it's your f***ing inn. You own all the chairs. Why would you pick this one? It's a bad chair, people.
Terrible chair.
It's a real bad looking chair. But again, Indiana Jones style, maybe this is the one that draws people in.
Yeah, this is the humble carpenters. I mean, if you told me that that chair belonged to Abraham Lincoln himself, I'd believe you.
Why?
Because it's a humble, honest chair.
Right. Okay, I get it. I do understand. Okay, yeah. Like, again, yep, same with Jesus. He humble guy, carpenter. He's going to have the wooden cup.
That's what I'm saying.
Although you would be livid if you were the explorer that went there and, you know, you finally make it in the tomb and the Knights of Templar are like, you must choose the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Drink from the cup that Jesus brought into this world. And you're like, all right, well, boom. Humble dude. He was a carpenter. He was like a chill guy. Like, I see a lot of fancy ones here, but bam, this one right here in the back. Dusty as shit. It's going to give me splinters when I drink it. Here we go. Start chugging away, and you're like, I don't feel so great.
What the f*** are you doing? That's my cup. That's not part of the cup challenge.
It's a Starbucks cup. It's got my name. Cathedor carved into the side.
They spelled it wrong because it's Starbucks.
I told you to pick Jesus's cup.
Jesus, the King of Kings.
The King of f***ing men. The King of the Jews. The Son of God. Look at this one over here. It's made of pure gold.
You can turn water into wine. Don't you know anything?
Oh my god. Melt away. You just dissolve in front of him. The next guy like walks up. All right. Now at least you got a bit of backstory. What cup do you want to go for? And he's like, I think it was that McFlurry.
The Knight of the Templar is eating the McFlurry. What? The one in my hand? Why would it be the one in my hand?
You must know it's not this.
It's not even a cup.
How did you explorers get in here? You're obviously dumb and you know nothing of history. So bold and so dumb.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now we know a little bit about the chair.
Yes.
We know about its history. We know about Bubsy.
Yes.
We know about the deaths.
Yes.
We've seen pictures of this uncomfortable bad boy hanging from a wall.
Yeah.
Kit, is this thing paranormal?
Shite. It's hard to know. So the crux of what makes this paranormal, supposedly, is that Bubsy's persona of pure evil, for some reason, whenever he was executed and left this world, left some kind of residual dark energy in the way that ghosts do that still inhabits the chair to this day, and apparently passes on Bubsy's murderous intentions onto whoever sits there. So what we have is kind of a straight up curse. This is touch and transaction. You touch this thing, you die.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Which is quite disappointing, because for such a colorful story of how it became cursed, I mean, there's little to no relevance to the origin.
Right.
I mean, it's not that you then have murderous tendencies.
Uh-huh.
It's not that, you know, something was stolen from you or you befall an accident involving a hammer. You're just cursed.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little disappointing.
It's not like Bubsy visits you in your dreams.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so granted, this is one of these stories that's surrounded in folklore and legend, and there's a couple different versions of how certain events of it played out.
Mm-hmm.
Some say Bubsy cursed the chair as he was dragged to the gibbet. Others say that the authorities allowed him to have one last drink in the chair before he died, so his spirit kind of remains around the chair and surrounded by it. There's a couple different versions of that, but the main story is man died. Man hates people sitting in his chair. You sit in his chair, you die.
Yeah.
That's essentially it.
This thing's on a pretty good kill streak.
Yeah.
You know, as compared to, say, maybe something like the Dybbuk box, where maybe the curse has befallen lots of people, such as Post Malone, who have come in contact with it. In all likelihood, as a publicly visible item, lots of people have seen it, touched it, and nothing's happened.
Yeah.
Whereas, what we can say about this thing is a decent proportion of the people who've come into contact with it, something's befallen them.
It's true.
So statistically, it's not doing too bad. Also, I would point out that, you know, we don't want to be biased on this show. We've previously talked about the curse of Tutankhamun. And
yes.
The idea was that whoever went into his tomb, messed around with his things, would be befallen by an ancient Egyptian curse. And there was some reason to believe that that was true, because plenty of people on the expedition died, things went wrong. You know, who are we to say that Bubsy can't place a curse of his own? Why does Tutankhamun get to place ancient curses and Bubsy doesn't?
Exactly. I think the placing of curses are not restricted to simply royalty.
That's
right.
You
know, common folk can place curses as well.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, we did look at the Dybbuk box two weeks ago, a similar cursed object. And while it had less casualties, there was a more detailed timeline of how many people it cursed and where it went.
Mm-hmm.
They said up to 60 people have been killed by the chair.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people sat in that chair.
Right.
Over those years and came to that pub. I mean, the ratio could be terrible.
Well, that's true. We did say it was at least 300 years old.
Whereas, like, pretty much everyone who touched or came in contact with the Dybbuk box was smelt cat piss or saw shadow people or were haunted pretty terribly.
Although the cat piss is a pretty low bar of, like, curse.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to go from nothing to, you know, cat piss to shadow people. The full spectrum of cursing. And not that it's a competition, but we did put up a poll on Twitter for that episode to see what the paranormal commune thought about this box. And after 360 votes, it's 65% people saying that box is cursed AF.
Wow.
35% saying it's just a box.
And this is why democracy just doesn't work, people, because the people just don't know what they think.
I think I'm happy that we threw it to the public on that episode where even I wasn't sure what the conclusion was. But in this case, I'm not sure if I even have enough convincing evidence to throw it to the public. I think my own personal poll is flying up the no flag
right
pretty high on this one. But that's just my personal opinion. I think anytime we have a story like this where even the story has four different ways of being told,
yeah,
I mean, that's a flag on the play.
Yeah, I'm not even convinced Bubsy happened.
Wow.
I need some receipts. I need some receipts on the whole Bubsy thing before we start getting to Bubsy's cursed chair.
I knew you were going to be skeptical at the end of this podcast. I didn't think you'd believe Bubsy wasn't real. Maybe the chair or that the curse wasn't real, but Bubsy himself? Yeah, I think personally for me, with the information that I could gather, it's a no. I don't think this chair is haunted.
There doesn't seem to be enough here, does there? Like, how come the cleaning lady gets to bump into it and then dies, but then like the curatorial staff at the museum get to like hang it up?
Yeah, they're all fine.
And that's all fine. I don't really understand.
Because it's just hanging there. Presumably you can still touch it and people aren't just dropping like flies.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think in the case of Bubsy's cursed chair, it's going to be a no for me this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, until, listen, the great-great-grandchildren of Sir Bubsy the Third get in contact and say, hey, f*** you, Sir Bubsy was a scholar and a crook, then...
So still a crook.
I think it's going to be a no for me also.
I like that whatever he does in his life, he's still and a crook.
Yes, of course.
So obviously, you know, even if he wasn't murdered, he would go on to become a father and a crook.
Yes.
And then teach the local schools as a crook.
Presumably that's what his headstone reads. It's like father, brother, mentor, dirty crook liar.
All right, double no this week. Hell, all I can say is until this museum has the balls to lower this bad boy and let me sit my plump butt on it, it's going to remain a no.
So the only way that this will be a yes is if you die?
Damn right, like all these podcasts should be. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of This Paranormal Life.
Oh!
I hope that this episode wasn't as uncomfortable as the chair itself.
9 foot tall, it's one foot wide.
Definitely go look up a picture of this chair if you haven't seen it, because man, my back hurts just by looking at it. It's crazy. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Bit of a weird, funny one this week. You know, we like to get a nice balance between the comical ones, the serious ones. And obviously this was just another serious one.
Yeah.
Because Bubsy's no joke, guys. Let us know what you think about Bubsy's chair by emailing us at thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. And while you're there, email some of your own cases. You know, get weird. Send in some cases. We want to investigate what you guys want us to investigate. So definitely get in touch there or on Facebook or Twitter. On Facebook, you can grab one of the comfiest chairs of all time, a chair at the Council of the Paranormal Commune. That's right. Every member is on the board. As soon as you walk in, it's welcome aboard. You're branded. You're given your paranormal handbook and a chair. Some of them are swivel chairs. Some of them are like fold-out lawn chairs.
We're quite short on chairs, so we really have to take whatever we can get.
If you could bring your own chairs, actually, that would really help.
If anyone's in the Yorkshire area, I mean, cut down Bubsy's chair.
Yeah, bring it along for either chairs or firewood. Depending on how cursed it really is. So come along and join us. And as always, yeah, the commune is great. Yeah, you can hang out with all your pals and tell ghost stories. What you can't do is get more episodes of This Paranormal Life. If you want to do that, there's only one way possible. By heading on over to patreon.com, where we can reward you every month with bonus episodes, shout outs on the podcast, merchandise, whatever your heart's require.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to show your support for the show, and hell, we couldn't be doing this without you, so we really appreciate it. And as always, if you do support us on Patreon, we like to round out the episode by giving you a special shout out. So let's tick some of those names off right now.
Special thank you to Vicky Wilkinson,
Vicky the Angel of Death, You know how they say, oh, mothers, lock up your daughters.
Right.
Fathers, lock up your sons, because Vicky will kill sons. I don't know much about this paranormal beast, except she storms through the night like a rain cloud of death, stealing the souls of sons across the land.
And sons is a pretty broad term, because it turns out anyone who is male is technically a son.
And we learned that the hard way, as we are now in her lair, podcasting
shit.
Live. Vicky, please let us out.
She has hung us up from the ceiling, like Bubsy's chair.
We have been gibleted. Gibleted by you, Vicky.
And it is a painful death.
But not only have you stolen our souls, you've also stolen our hearts with your support. So thanks, Vicky.
Thank you also to Jamie Matthews.
Jamie Math Bruce, also known as Banana Boy. You so much breathe on this little coward. And he bruises like a peach.
So not like a banana, though?
Hell no. He's the flimsiest little ball of snow. I once saw a man sneeze on the subway and he went flying down the carriages at like 100 miles per hour.
Holy shite.
I don't even know how he leaves the house in the morning. It's crazy.
Christ alive.
Yeah, but you know what? The only thing more tender than his bones is his heart. Because here he is supporting us on Patreon and we appreciate it.
Oh, I see his profile picture here. He's entirely purple.
Yeah.
He's more bruised than mine.
And made of glass. He's a walking purple stained glass window.
Thank you also to Kate McClintock.
Well, if it isn't Rate Kate. That's right, you thought Bubsy was freaking quick to anger? You should meet Kate here.
Holy shit.
She doesn't even have a favorite chair. Just anything. Her bed, her freaking closet, her desk. If you even walk in and drink from her cup, she just slaps that out of your hand and curses your life.
The kind of unfair bit is that she pretty much, like, just decides what's hers. It's not even really just the things that are hers. She just walk into your room and just point at things and go, mine, mine, mine. And you have to drop it because she will flip.
Immediately, like, she spots your AirPods and it's like, oh, I like those. They're Kate's now.
They're all Kate. They're so expensive.
Kate.
I need
silence!
Them.
Silence! Give
okay.
them to Kate!
Oh, fine.
You gotta just give it up because she will curse you. Luckily, we're on her good side, Kate. So, thank you for your support.
She just emailed me to say, mine. I think she means the Patreon
oh,
or the podcast.
Shit. All right, Kate, can we... We'll give you this month, but we need it back, Kate.
Thank you also to Ricard Persson. Well, if it isn't one rock-hard person. This guy does not quit working out. Oh my god. He's surpassed being sort of a human level of built into mostly if he stands still for long enough holding a cool Arnold Schwarzenegger pose, he just looks like a rock.
Yeah.
Not like, the rock, just a boulder.
He starts to get like stalactites like hanging mm-hmm, from parts of his
mm-hmm.
body. He just
bats
becomes a
very
statue.
Much nest in him. That's right.
I don't even know how, but some sort of sea coastal wave starts to brush against him, even if he's like mainland. It's crazy. Dude is a borderline cliffside. And yes, he is eroding, but not so quickly that he can't chill out and listen to a podcast every now and again.
I mean, you got a lot of time to hang out if you're a rock.
And we think you rock. So thanks for supporting us.
Thanks also to Alexander Spinelli.
Alexander Spinelli Bolognese. The guy served good cold. The guy served good hot. Good on every meal. Good on every dish.
You put bolognese on anything?
Yeah, you
eat
know.
It cold?
Yeah, cold, you put it on a bit of ice cream. Hot, okay. You put it on like a little bit of ice cream.
I like that you like bolognese that much, but...
I don't like bolognese that much. I like Alexander that much.
Oh, I see.
That's right. He's a dish like revenge, best served 24/7.
You're a very spiteful person.
Me and Alexander are very spiteful people. That's why we get along. Thank you, Alexander. Good to see you again.
And thank you, too. Sandy! It's actually good to hear from Sandy. Sandy's real name is Mandy. It's a bit of a sad story. When Mandy was back doing a school trip to the south of France, the other kids kind of banded together and dug a big pit and buried her up to her head in sand.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they buried a little too deep and she was never able to get out. So she mostly stayed there.
Okay.
And is mostly sand at this point. Human head.
Got it.
But kind of just figured out how to make things work. Just eats passing crabs and birds and things like that.
You know, it's not the most luxurious life, but hell, she's got a good tan. Her skin is sun-kissed.
To say the least.
To say the least. She is barnacle-covered. She is burnt to a crisp.
When the tide comes in, you gotta get her a snorkel.
Evolution has worked fast. She's developed fangs to better eat the crabs. It is an incredible... She's a bit of a crab herself, now I think about it. She's a borderline crab. She has crab hands, crab claws.
Second name, crab. Come to think of it, Sandy Crab.
Wait, we just checked. This is from a sand crab. It wasn't Mandy. It wasn't Sandy.
Oh, Mandy just died, actually.
Crab took her head. Thank you, Sandy, for your contribution.
Thank you also to Matthew Camel Decker.
Matthew the Camel Decker. The legend who knocked out a camel in a single punch.
Whoa.
That's right. That two-hump chump got one-hit wondered straight out of the freaking Sahara up to the moon.
Those cheeky little bastards are always taking the opportunity to spit on humans when they get the chance. And this one was hawking up a big old loogie.
Not today, you humpy bastard. And just BAM! Like, totally knocked this thing out.
Yep.
It was the most incredible sight I've ever seen. And to this day... the great human camel war has been at a standstill, thanks to him.
We owe all the peace in the world to him. thank you.
And thank you so much to everyone who we gave a shout out to. If you're still waiting for your shout out, don't worry, guys. It's coming. We got a little backlog to go through, but we're getting through it very slowly every week. Thank you so much for your support. And until next Tuesday, avoid all the cursed chairs you can find. And also, don't forget... to live fast, investigate, and die young, baby! Woo!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.